Where should we go to dinner?
Elle asked Gia.
Both reporters turned back abruptly and stared back at them in surprise. She was fairly certain that Elle had done that on purpose.
I'll let you choose.
Once the reporters exited the Jefferson room, Gia addressed Elle.
Are you sure that's wise? They're going to keep shipping us.
Elle passed her a sideways look.
What's shipping?
Imagining that we're a couple. Projecting that kind of relationship on us. It's a term my friend Isabel uses when... Never mind.
Andrew stepped forward. My sister ships everybody. The practice is rampant.
Elle marveled. I had no idea. Shipping, huh?
Gia pressed on.
Isn't your boyfriend going to be upset if these articles keep hitting the web?
I don't have a boyfriend, Elle said and gathered her bag.
Okay, but you're straight.
Elle's smile faltered noticeably, and wrinkles appeared on her forehead. After a moment, she brightened to full Elle wattage again, leaving Gia intrigued as to what had just taken place in her head.
All press is good press, Gia. Good rule of thumb.
If you say so.
I do. Let's eat.
The restaurant Elle selected for them was one Gia had heard of. Popular, trendy, and hard as hell to get a table. Well, unless you were Elle, apparently. The host at the front made a huge fuss when he saw her, kissing her cheek and asking about her week.
Been a little hectic, Elle answered. Lots of press for the tour. How's your mom?
Much better. With that hip replacement, she's good as new.
Thrilled to hear it. Give her a kiss on the cheek and all my best.
She would love that, he exclaimed. You know how she adores you.
It's mutual, Trevor. It's mutual.
Did Elle literally know everyone in California? Was that a true possibility?
As they were guided to their table, right in the center of the restaurant, Gia felt like she'd been dropped in the middle of Europe. The black, white, and red interior was outfitted with a handful of small, round tables leading up to a black and red bar. Wine bottles lined the walls, and the menu contained a handful of tapas dishes Gia couldn't begin to decipher.
You're a people person, Gia said as they settled across from each other.
I think that's accurate. I happen to like people a lot. Don't you? Isn't that what makes the world go round?
I like the people I know already.
Elle nodded.
But you have friends. I've seen them.
True. I guess I have a small but close group. But you? You're like the friendship ambassador.
Some wine? The sommelier asked. Gia liked wine, but knew very little about it. She gestured for Elle to go right ahead.
I think we'll take a bottle of your cake bread cab, the 2015, if you have it.
Quietly, Gia admired Elle's confidence. Plus, she always smiled and treated people courteously. She remembered how, not too long ago, she decided that Elle's friendly disposition was 100% fake. And while she hadn't bought into it entirely just yet, she was starting to understand that there was room for error in her initial judgment. What did Elle possibly have to gain from being nice to her assistant, Andrew, earlier? It was unlikely she'd see the guy again, but she'd gone out of her way to be warm and inclusive. Gia was willing to admit that she might have pinned a lot of resentment on Elle simply because she was the competition, and not necessarily because she was an awful person.
I believe we have the 2015, the sommelier said with a bow, and disappeared into the nearby wine cellar. This can't be good for your training, Gia remarked with a smile.
Elle placed a hand over her heart.
Oh, you're so sweet to look out for me.
That's me, Gia said with a laugh. The sweetest.
They stared at each other as the melody from the nearby Spanish guitar floated past.
So, Elle said.
So, another pause. What made you ask me to dinner? Gia asked.
Honestly? It was a spur-of-the-moment decision.
Gia sat back in her chair.
One you're regretting now?
Elle shook her head, and the music played on.
I wanted to get to know you better, and now I can.
Scoping out the competition. Nothing wrong with that.
They waited while the sommelier poured the wine. Elle took a sip and basked.
It's really good.
Gia liked the way she savored the taste, the way she pressed her lips together lightly at first and then more firmly. She had good lips. Gia tended to stare at them a lot.
"Tell me, are you from California?"
Elle asked. "No, moved here when I was 19, with hopes to make it into the qualifying tour." Elle seemed puzzled.
"Okay, then where did you learn to surf if not here?"
"Hawaii. My mother was a captain in the Air Force, and we were stationed at a base there. I had this friend who would come to the islands to visit her family each summer. She talked this huge game about wanting to learn to surf."
"An influencer?"
"Big time. I looked up to her in every way."
"What was her name?"
"Hunter, which I thought was so much cooler than a stupid name like Gia. She was smooth and put together, and knew she was gay way the hell before I did. Everyone wanted to be around her. Meanwhile, I was just trying to figure out how to string two sentences together around girls I thought were pretty." She laughed. "Still am."
"So, the girl with all the cool moves taught you to surf?"
"Hardly. She was awful at it. But then I gave it a shot, and it's like the world came into color." She shook her head at the still vivid memory. "When I finally managed to stand up on that board for the first time, it's like I'd found my purpose." "Sounds stupid, hearing it out loud."
Elle shook her head, and her eyes held understanding. "It's the furthest thing from stupid I'd ever heard. Tell me more."
"I practiced. Mornings before school, afternoons following school. All summer long. Hunter gave it up after that first summer. Spent her time chatting up girls at the mall while I lived in the ocean with my board."
"And what happened to Hunter? The suspense is killing me."
"Honestly, I'm not sure. We lost touch when my mom was transferred back to the mainland. I'm confident she's still landing more girls than I ever could."
Elle set down her wine. "Oh, I bet you do okay."
"Apparently the dream version of me does." They looked at each other and laughed. Elle glanced away, a blush firmly in place.
"As I may have mentioned before, it was the article about us that caused the whole thing. The one that was shipping us."
Elle smiled at her own use of the term.
"I read it before going to sleep that night."
"Aha! So you find tabloid gossip inspiring?" Gia tilted her head and caught Elle's gaze. "I'm sorry if the dream made you feel awkward or upset you."
"It didn't upset me," Elle said. "Well, it did for a while." A pause. "And then it didn't."
They stared at each other.
Gia wondered where all the sound in the room had gone. Her head felt light, like it might float away at any moment.
She blinked and reached for her glass of wine. "Good. That's good, then." Their waiter returned and they ordered food, a combo of different Spanish tapas to sample. Again, she let Elle, who seemed more adept at the menu options, do the choosing. They each went for a second glass of wine as they chatted. Slowly, and with the help of time and alcohol, the mood shifted as they each relaxed.
"What about you?" Gia asked. "When did you first get on a board?"
"Oh, well, I was a California kid through and through. My parents were beach people, so my brothers and I were in the water from the beginning. Got my first surfboard at 7. Won my first competition at 9.
"You were a surf prodigy."
"I do remember hearing that part of the story."
Elle had the decency to demur. "I practiced a lot. Prodigy is a strong word."
"I don't think it is in your case. Not that it's going to help you in San Clemente."
"You're ruthless, you know that? And you're not going to win."
"I'm driven. And I am too."
Elle raised her glass and touched Gia's.
"To taking each other down. That should be the story of our joint memoir."
"Wow, first you're dreaming about me, then you're asking me out to dinner, and now we have a joint memoir? You move fast."
She watched the recurring pink hit the tops of Elle's cheeks and blossom, enjoying that she inspired it and wanting to inspire more, while at a loss at just how to navigate this new circumstance.
"Get out of your own head. Don't overthink."
She exhaled. She was trying.
"I think about you differently since the dream. Is that weird?" Maybe Elle was really feeling the wine,
but that comment sent a sweltering wave dissolving over Gia. She was glad they'd taken an Uber to the restaurant. They should definitely take separate ones home.
"Do you have a crush on me, Elle?"
It was said as a joke, a deflection, because that was easier. But she honestly had a stake in the answer. To Gia's surprise, the self-assured smile slid right off Elle's lips.
"I mean, I don't think so."
A pause as her gaze hit the tablecloth.
"I don't know. What if I did?"
Gia laughed it off and took another sip of her wine. Elle laughed, too, and they both seemed to do their damnedest to downplay the exchange as nothing but light-hearted banter. But there was a weighted charge between them now that was new and as intoxicating as the wine. The comment felt so far out of left field that Gia didn't know which end was up. She was now having impure thoughts about Elle Britton, who in turn kept dropping hints of possible attraction of her own, all because of a random sex dream? How in the world did they get here? Gia wasn't sure, but she gestured for the check and distantly blamed Isabel. She needed some air, some space, and maybe a therapy session with Hadley, because this whole thing felt catastrophic and thrilling. She couldn't decide which. It was both. It was everything. And the room had way too little air.
"Thanks for inviting me," Gia said, once the waiter returned with her credit card. "I should probably get home. I'm meeting Katrina early tomorrow for a workout."
"You're lucky you scored her."
Gia nodded.
"You don't have to tell me. She knows our world and what it takes to survive the big waves."
"My guy, Bruce, is great, but I grew up hero-worshipping Katrina. I had her poster in my room."
"That makes two of us."
"Oh, yeah? Did you demand your mother find you those exact same board shorts? The ones with the green and the yellow vertical stripes?"
"I hounded her daily. I also taped her finals heats with an actual VCR.
Elle pointed at her.
"I still have my tapes."
"Shut up. Truly?"
"I do. I couldn't throw them away if I wanted to." "Did you try and spike your hair like hers?"
"I tried and failed miserably."
"Same."
They stood at the entrance of the restaurant, waiting for rides and grinning at the unexpected common ground. It's been a while since Gia had met someone who understood how great Katrina was. Is.
"You're a cooler girl than I thought, Elle." She held up a hand. "And don't let that go too far to your head. I might deny saying so tomorrow."
"Or maybe you won't."
A moment passed between them, and Gia softened.
"Or maybe I won't."
Elle laughed and turned to face the street, the wind lifting the loose strands of blonde around her face that had somehow escaped the braid. Gia felt like she'd seen behind the curtain tonight, to a version of Elle she hadn't realized existed. But then again, maybe she hadn't wanted to know. Until now. Elle's car arrived first, and she turned to Gia.
"Thank you for tonight. I had a great time getting to know more about the infamous Gia Malone."
"Next time, I choose the place."
Elle took a step in, a close one, and Gia felt it all over.
"There'll be a next time?"
"Yeah, why not?" Gia asked.
"You're asking me?"
She shook her head, and her tongue briefly wet her bottom lip. Gia's stomach took a wonderful dip.
"I see no reason at all."
Elle slipped into the back seat, and Gia stared through the window at her silhouette. The car pulled slowly from the curb and disappeared into the night, right along with everything Gia thought she knew about the world. What was she supposed to do with that glimpse of flirtation and this newfound attraction to someone she didn't even like a month ago? Gia raised her hand to her forehead. She needed an Advil and a sounding board, because her head was pounding with problems. Chapter 8. Something was up with Christopher. He'd been quiet since they'd sat down for coffee at the quaint little garden table he'd selected for them at the outdoor cafe. Elle was consistently impressed with his ability to seek out the beautiful spots in the world. Now, if only he seemed to be enjoying their surroundings as much as she was.
"Hey, Goober, you're not saying much."
He raised his handsome gaze and furrowed his brow.
Did you just call me a goober?
Yes, and it got your attention, she said playfully. Why so solemn?
He inhaled quickly, as if snapping out of it, and met her eyes.
We have fun together. She nodded.
We do.
We talk about things that actually matter, and you're charming and flat-out gorgeous. I think you're very attractive.
She smiled.
I could say all of those same things about you.
But let me ask you this.
He sat forward, scooting to the edge of his chair.
Do you go home and think about me?
Of course.
I don't mean about what we laughed about or what we ate. Do you think about me?
Now, that was a harder question to tackle, and Al took a moment to figure out what to say next. He didn't give her the chance.
Because I don't think about you.
The coffee caught in her throat, and she found herself sputtering and gasping in an attempt not to choke. To his credit, Christopher leapt into action and slid a bottle of water her way.
You okay?
He asked softly when she regained control. Why were his eyes kind when his words were cruel?
Other than what you just said to me?
His eyes widened and he looked genuinely horrified.
Hey, I didn't mean that the way it sounded. It's just... we've clicked, I feel like.
I thought so, too. She liked him way more than any guy she dated before.
I could hang out with you all day and night, but I don't think the romance is there.
Yeah, she said, reflecting on their time together. They had so much in common, and she truly liked Christopher, but they'd pretty much stepped away from the physical to a soft and simple peck at the end of their dates, nothing more. She didn't go home and think about him. At least, not like that. Maybe she shouldn't be so surprised that he'd noticed.
I guess it's not there. She watched as relief took shape on his face.
I want you to know that this is in no way your fault. I think you're an amazing woman, and I still want us to be friends, to keep doing stuff together. But there's something I need to let you in on, which may not be easy to hear.
Of course, you can tell me anything.
I'm gay.
No.
Yes.
Elle laughed hesitantly.
No, you're not. There's no way.
Trust me, I used to think the same thing, even very recently.
She blinked. She blinked again. A third time?
She tried on the statement. You're gay.
Birds rustled in the birdbath nearby, and he covered his eyes with his hand.
This is new for me, too. I mean, it's not, but it is new for me to say it out loud. I'm 30 years old, and I'm finally admitting to myself what's always been there.
Hey, she said quietly, pulling his hand down from his face.
She reminded herself to focus less on her own surprise and more on her friend's feelings. This was a big admission for him.
You don't have to feel embarrassed or nervous in front of me.
What do I know about anything? I can't even whistle.
That netted a small smile.
To help, she gave it a shot, forcing air through her lips in an abysmal display.
See? I'm a wreck of a person.
No, you're not. You're put together. I've always thought so.
He sat back in his chair and drank his coffee like a shot of bourbon.
Well, I'm glad it looks that way.
A new thought descended. She brushed the hair away from her face and inclined her head.
Can I ask if there's something in particular, other than your lack of connection with me, of course, that has led you to this revelation? Someone, perhaps?
And then it all came tumbling out like a pent-up confession.
More like every man on the planet, including Dash, and if you tell him that, I'll kill you, friendship or not.
Ha-ha! She laughed, and used her fingers to lock her lips. Well, it sounds like the world has opened up for you, Christopher.
He took her hand and gave it a squeeze.
Are we okay?
How could we not be? We're two adorable people in a garden that looks like it was heaven sent. My good friend trusted me enough to tell me something important about him.
He smiled and exhaled slowly, as if the relief was a welcome hit.
You're amazing.
Thank you. Hey, can we still check out that little sushi spot near the Grove next week? We just won't make out afterward.
He touched his cup to hers.
I made the reservations last night.
Awesome, she beamed. Yelp says their Seattle roll is worth its weight in gold.
Then we gotta have it, he said. Oh, and what about that Harrison Ford cop movie we were waiting for? It opens next week.
I could do Thursday night, she said, scrolling through the calendar on her phone.
Thursday works for me.
In only a matter of minutes, their brand new friendship was 100 times more comfortable than their romance that wasn't. The pressure was gone, and they could just be. Elle was happy for Christopher and could already detect a lightness about him that she had never noticed before. She wondered what that must feel like.
Oh, and Elle, you're going to find someone amazing. I have no doubt in my mind.
You never know. For the first time, after years of feeling that romance was an impossibility for her, the pieces of a long, unrealized puzzle were beginning to assemble themselves slowly. She didn't know what they meant quite yet, but she was starting to have an inkling.
Christopher studied her. What's the look on your face? You went somewhere just now.
Elle decided that Christopher had been honest with her, which couldn't have been easy, and the least she could do was let her guard down with him. In fact, he was likely the perfect person to talk to about this. She leaned in. Do you remember the girl from the surf bar I took you to? The brunette across the room with her friends?
Your competitor, yeah. You two talked at the bar.
What if I was starting to feel like I might have a crush on her? A small one, almost non-detectable, but still a crush.
Christopher didn't balk. He didn't widen his eyes in surprise. He simply nodded as he took in the information. Do you think she has similar feelings?
Definitely not. I mean, she teases me about a sex dream I had about her, which I shared in a drunken moment of idiocy. But I think that's all it is. Just playful fodder.
You had a sex dream about her, and she knows?
Elle waved him off. Yes, but that was so last week. This week we had dinner, and the thing is, there's so much more to her than I'd realized. I'd always thought of her as this less-than-warm surfer that I was supposed to take down on the tour. But maybe that was a characterization of my own making. Because now I found out that she has this personality. She can be funny when she wants to be, and nervous other times. And she comes with this whole childhood in Hawaii. And don't even get me started on the fact that she's really very beautiful and...
Hey, Elle?
Yeah? She asked, a little dazed.
When you're apart, do you think about her?
The answer was upon her immediately. She nodded. I do. A lot. He smiled.
Then I think it's safe to say that you have a crush on your hands. The only question is, what are you prepared to do about it?
I honestly don't know. Probably nothing.
Well, maybe you don't have to know in this moment. But can I offer you a piece of advice?
Please. I would very much welcome any guidance or insight, because everything is feeling very out of sorts. And when you're a control freak like me, that's terrifying.
Here goes. Don't wait 15 years to admit to yourself what you probably already know. Life is too short, and you're too wonderful a person to lose out on something that could be really great if you were open to it.
But I don't think I'm... The sentence died on her lips because she couldn't back it up. She flashed on all her failed relationships with men and how they never held her interest. She'd always believed it was because her career took precedence. But maybe that hadn't been it. Now, through an unforeseen series of events, she'd stumbled onto someone she was actually attracted to, who appealed to parts of her she'd previously imagined were broken. Maybe this meant she wasn't broken after all. Christopher gave her hand a squeeze.
You were saying?
That I have some thinking to do.
He nodded knowingly.
They wrapped up their coffee date with some small talk about Holly and Dash, their work schedules, and what plans they were already making for Christmas, a holiday they both loved. As they walked to their respective cars, Christopher turned to her.
Can I say that I might have suspected? It's an awful thing to say, but in this case, it's true.
Her mouth fell open. I don't think I believe you. No way.
Well, then I won't say it. Out loud.
He wrapped his big arms around her and kissed the side of her head.
See you on Thursday.
All right, Goober.
As Gia stood in the afternoon rush line at Cat's Pajamas, Autumn tossed her the universal look for, "Get out of line, idiot, I've got your order." She passed back an, "Okay, but I don't want you to feel like you have to give me special favors," glance, and received the, "You're not doing that, so stop being stupid," stare. Gia dutifully stepped out of line and took a seat at a nearby table. The one they usually sat at was occupied by a group of frat guys in swim trunks and damp t-shirts. She sent them a cool, even, "That's my table," gaze as she passed. Unnecessary, yes, but she happened to be in an awful mood. Her practice session had been rough, and with San Clemente coming up in just a few days, she couldn't afford a rough practice. With nearly 2 months since the last tournament, it was up to her to stay in peak surfing condition. She and Katrina had taken the jet ski out to catch the bigger swells, but she'd been off her game and couldn't seem to engage. She'd wiped out or been swallowed by a wave an embarrassing number of times, and when they'd found the bigger pipe, she just didn't have it in her to go after it and ended the session early in a frustrated huff. She was annoyed at herself and the world. "Special delivery," Autumn said, and slid Gia an iced coffee, her afternoon beverage of choice. "Uh-oh, that's a rare look. I've seen it on your face maybe twice. What happened?" Gia rolled her eyes. "Lame training session. All my fault, too, so I'm yelling at myself in my head." "That sounds terrifying. Maybe let yourself off with a light lecture? Some extra chores?" "Nah, too easy." Autumn, with a hand on her growing stomach, slid delicately into the chair across from Gia. "Coffee will make it better, though. It makes everything better." "Thanks," she mumbled half-heartedly, and thumbed the circular lid. Coffee did help, and she was doing everything she could to see value in the little things, because the larger issues were confusing the hell out of her. "Would it help if I told you that the kids are dancing up a storm today? Probably because they wanted to say hello to you. I told them you might drop in." Gia sat up, intrigued. "You can really feel them now?" The idea made her surfing issues fade to the background, at least momentarily. "Mm-hmm. Here. It's getting to the point where others can, too. At least once or twice for Kate." She took Gia's hand and placed it on her stomach, which was surprisingly firm. At first, she didn't feel anything. Autumn looked skyward and moved Gia's hand to the left and pressed it into her stomach as if to wake them up. "Feel that?" Gia sat upright, because there was a noticeable little flutter against Autumn's skin. She pulled her hand back in surprise and pointed. "Whoa, there are people in there, moving. You were right." Autumn laughed. "Can you believe it? I still can't." Gia grappled. "I know human beings have children every day, but it's different when it's... Autumn, I mean you. You're having kids. You, my best friend." Autumn nodded with an acceptance Gia didn't have yet. "That's true. This time next year, there will be rugrats around here causing trouble. Real ones with thoughts and opinions and wants and needs." Gia felt a surge of panic and glanced around. "We should probably start getting ready, making lists or something. What list should I make?" Autumn stood. "Way ahead of you, champ. You should see the storage locker Kate's rented, full of baby supplies. I tried to tell her we're expecting a couple of infants, not the apocalypse. But it makes her feel better to be overprepared. She's turning into a professional baby supply hoarder, though, no doubt about it. An intervention might be forthcoming." "Kate's hoarding babies?" Gia's goofy neighbor, Barney, asked as he meandered through the shop. His normally bleached blonde hair had a green streak running through it today. Gia couldn't begin to understand the type of life that dude led. He had a different job every time she talked to him. Magazine subscriptions, errand runner, and her favorite, rare coin collector. Mainly, he just wanted to hang out on the beach and play volleyball with his dude friends all day. "More like supplies," Autumn said, gesturing to her stomach. "She's getting ready for these guys." "Gnarly. Gonna down some of your delicious coffee now." He offered Autumn a fist bump and continued his half-dance, half-walk to the counter. Autumn, used to Barney and unfazed, turned back to Gia. "I was meaning to ask, are you free this weekend? We thought we might do a gender reveal with our close friends.
Oh, man. I leave for San Clemente on Sunday, but I could do Friday or Saturday.
Done. Stay tuned for details. We'll all find out together. Gia was smiling when Autumn returned to work, but that smile came right off her face when she saw Public Enemy Number 1 walk through the door.
Hey, Isabel said to Gia. I took off a little early today, so I thought I would see what everyone was up to.
No way, Gia said. You can't walk in here and be friendly. We're not friends right now.
Isabel seemed taken aback, but only mildly.
We're not friends? Was there a memo I missed again? I suck at memos.
You can't quip your way out of this one with your Izzy talk.
Isabel took a chair, turned it backward, and sat down.
Gonna have to be more specific.
You've ruined my life, and now my job.
Yeah, that was a lot clearer, she softened. Suggestion time. Why don't you just tell me what's actually going on, with details rather than vague suggestions?
Fine. There was the trainer's campaign and the sex dream, and now I'm in this weird place with Elle where I notice her physically and actually like her, and then the surfing just sucks. All of it, your fault.
Right, Isabel said. That makes 100% sense. All my doing. No one would question that logic.
Gia glared at her.
Don't argue with me when I'm down. Don't you do it.
Who's arguing? I'm a fucking support system of awesome, worried for your mental well-being. I'm also feeling intrigued and hopeful about your new extracurricular life. Want to talk about it?
With you? Not a chance.
A pause. Gia dropped the ire from her voice.
I'm waiting for Had. The wide-eyed Cinderella of Seven Shores? I'm the one actually in a relationship. You realize that, right? I'm fully capable here. In fact, the most capable.
Ahem, Autumn said from behind the counter, indicating she'd been eavesdropping on every word. Her capacity to hear each conversation in the coffee shop was a mystery Gia had yet to crack, like when your mom just intuitively knew you'd skipped school. That was Autumn, every damn time.
Autumn, who's happily married, can also help, Isabel said in a loud voice. She's every bit a pro.
Gia stood.
Thanks, guys, but I'm going to wait.
Unbelievable! Isabel called to Gia's retreating form. Is this some sort of single-person solidarity? I'm feeling rightfully offended.
What you should feel is guilty as hell, Gia said, whirling on her. All your fault. You and your stupid sparks.
Isabel seemed to suppress a smile, which only angered Gia further.
See, you never have fully explained what it is I did wrong, but if something I said helped you along your path to love, or even a little temporary lust, then I will accept your anger in worthy sacrifice to the cause.
Gia heard Autumn chuckle quietly from behind the counter. She glanced from one of them to the other.
You two are awful people who deserve each other's friendship.
Isabel blew her a loud kiss, and Autumn followed suit. She would forgive them both in around 10 minutes. For now, it felt really good to focus her anger. She stomped down the sidewalk to Seven Shores and took in the empty courtyard. Hadley was working the afternoon to evening shift at Silhouette, and if she was quick, maybe she could catch her before she left for work. Hadley would understand. She'd help her figure this out.
My dear goodness, sounds like things have escalated, Hadley said from in front of her dressing table 15 minutes later.
She stared at Gia through the mirror as she transformed into the sophisticated version of herself suited for the posh boutique on Rodeo Drive. A little blush, a little mascara, and an updo, and Hadley went from endearing to impressive.
I don't know that I'd say escalated, Gia offered as nonchalantly as possible. But the whole L thing has me wigged out and distracted. It's starting to affect my surfing, and that can't happen. You get me?
Hadley swiveled on her stool and faced Gia, who sat on the sage comforter atop Hadley's bed.
You realize that this is the same L. Britton that you've seethed over for the past several years, who you've made me despise right alongside you. While it was fun to tease you about the chemistry and all, I never actually thought anything real would come of it. This has taken a turn, I say. A turn. Hand me the hairspray. I'm short on time.
Gia passed Hadley the bottle. Nothing will come of it. It's just a blip.
Hadley deflated. Why is that? Why are you so quick to decide?
She sprayed her hair and surveyed the results in the mirror. It's impractical. Gia stood because she was far too fired up not to. It's a phase. I'm sure I'll be back to hating her next week, and the attraction will be gone.
You're gesturing a lot.
So?
It's what you do when something's really bothering you. Tells me this is major. And so what if the attraction fades? If it fizzles, it fizzles. Can't hurt to enjoy it a little in the meantime.
That last sentence snagged her attention. She didn't allow much time to enjoy things. There was surfing, which was her main focus, her job. For fun, she really just turned to her friends and maybe retro video games. But that was about it, all she allowed herself time for. Can't hurt to enjoy it a little. She nodded, finding the parallel to the homework Katrina had given her. I guess that's not horrible advice.
Of course it's not horrible advice, Hadley said, standing and crushing Gia's face into her stomach in a commanding hug. It's from me.
Ow, you're smashing my face.
You love me.
Hadley released her and went in search of her bag with Gia hot on her heels, not quite finished with the discussion. Katrina says I get in my own head too much.
You do, so maybe don't overthink as far as Elle is concerned. Follow, she smiled. Other parts of you.
Gia sighed. I thought for sure you'd understand. Tell me to proceed with caution.
I do understand. But it is my sincere hope that you allow yourself to be open and receptive to the ways of love.
She shook her head. Only you would say a lame sentence like that.
Make fun of me all you want, but I'm not the one daydreaming about my number one rival without any clothes on. Don't deny it either. I know you.
You and Izzy and Autumn are ridiculous. You know that? Hadley ushered them out of the apartment.
You're probably right. We're the ridiculous ones. Call me later. I'm off to take the design world by storm.
Hadley sashayed to the top of the outdoor stairs and struck a pose. Gia squinted in confusion. What are you doing?
Trying to make an exit. Did it work?
I don't think so.
Well, tomorrow's another day. Be good, Gia, and by good, I mean carefree.
Yeah. Gia stood on the outdoor walkway in front of Hadley's apartment and walked the few steps to the door to her own. She could see the ocean over the top of the complex across from her. She watched the waves a moment, a trick that had always calmed her in the past and set her at peace. It wasn't working. She took out her phone and did something even she couldn't fathom. She texted Elle. Training today? It was doubtful she'd get a reply. She wasn't even sure why she'd done it, other than the fact that she was restless and out of sorts and couldn't help herself, flashing on the good time they'd had at dinner. She turned to enter her apartment when her phone chimed. Whoa. Her heart sped up, and she clenched one fist before glancing at the readout.
Morning session complete. What are you up to?
Panic hit, and her mind raced. Not sure what to do, she moved to the railing, then away from it again, and then back. She was tempted to toss the phone over the balcony. The stupid device. What the hell was she supposed to do now? Finally, she took a seat on the top of the stairs and typed a response. Want to join forces this afternoon? She hit send before logic could interfere. Elle's response was faster this time.
Well, that could make for an interesting workout.
The blush hit, and although no one was around to see it, the mortification followed anyway. Gia didn't casually blush. She was an athlete, and a stoic one at that. She stomped on feelings, ate them for breakfast, and pushed forward to the win at every turn. Who was this new chick taking residence in her body? She started to type what she'd only been kidding when a second message from Elle hit. Come to Hermosa Beach, my turf, 3 p.m. Deep breath. Don't think, she typed. You're on. This could get interesting.
Chapter 9. After lunch and a short rest for her muscles, Gia did some stretches, put on a sky blue bikini top and board shorts, hopped in her Jeep, and headed for South Bay, home of Hermosa Beach.
The 12-mile drive took close to half an hour in traffic, giving her plenty of time to second-guess what was probably a horrible idea. Who trained with their competition? No one did, because it was stupid. Something else was driving her, and it had little to do with surfing. Don't think, don't overanalyze. But she knew exactly what it was. She craved time with Elle, craved being in her presence, staring at her, talking to her. It was becoming all too familiar, that want, and it came with a power like nothing she'd ever experienced. In fact, she was beginning to wonder if she could fight it if she tried. Elle's directions were perfect, and when she arrived, Gia found her on a stretch of quiet beach. Some dudes tossed a football down the shore. A couple walked their schnauzer. Meanwhile, music blared from a radio propped up in the sand. Something current and poppy that you'd hear on the radio. As Elle did lower abdominal crunches on an exercise mat in her red sports bikini. Gia blinked at the skin on display. She'd seen it all before, a million times. Yet things seemed very different now. She swallowed back the desire that enveloped her.
"What's up, two?"
Elle asked, not so much as pausing her crunches. At least she offered a bright smile. Gia stared down at Elle. "If that's my cue to call you one, it's not going to happen." Elle sat up and draped her forearms across her knees. The sun caught her eyes just perfectly, highlighting the light blue. She had a thin sheen of perspiration on her forehead, and her smile, as always, could light up even the darkest of rooms. She met Gia's gaze. "I'm willing to let you call me whatever you want, within reason. Count for me?" Gia grinned and took her spot at Elle's feet as Beyoncé empowered them both from the radio in the sand. She began counting off the crunches. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Every time Elle raised up, her gaze met Gia's and held for a fleeting moment. 22, 24, 26. Her first instinct was to look away, to deflect or make a joke. But no, not this time. She held on, relishing the way their locked eyes made her feel. She felt connected to Elle and loved every second of it. When they hit 100, Gia took charge. "Sit-ups, 50. "You're a demanding trainer. You sure you want me in tip-top shape? Could be consequences. Swatch Pro is just under a week away."
"Yeah, well, I happen to know how good your competition is, so I think we're okay."
They traded off counting for each other, and as they worked out under the hot sun, Gia felt herself relax more and more and truly relished the afternoon and how much fun the two of them were having together. Competition, banter, and all. They decided to end with a run along the beach before hitting the waves. She allowed Elle to set their pace, and it wasn't an easy one.
"Are you showing off?" she asked.
"Maybe a little."
They ran on, and Elle tossed her a glance.
"I'm glad you came by. Got my ass moving more than I have all week."
"Same. Maybe we should have been training alongside our competitors this whole time."
"Well, the pretty ones, at least."
Elle pulled ahead, and Gia turned up the gas, hot on her heels with a broad smile on her face. The exertion, the endorphins, or maybe the fact that she didn't have to look Elle in the eye had Gia feeling lighthearted and courageous.
"Are you flirting with me?" she asked.
A pause.
"Maybe."
"Maybe? Wow." Gia wasn't inventing things. And if Elle was flirting, what exactly would all of that mean? Did it change anything for Gia? Would she suddenly want to pursue Elle Britton officially? Sounded like a dumb idea in the larger scheme of things. But for a minute, she allowed herself to enjoy the unravel, the idea.
"Were you flirting with me at the restaurant the other night?" Elle asked.
Her tone was playful, but Gia saw through it. Maybe Elle was just as intrigued by the newfound dynamic as Gia was. What the hell? She decided to go for it.
"Yeah, I'd say I was. Just in fun, though."
"Okay, good to know."
They ran on as the sun continued its descent in the sky and the waves rolled in not far from their feet. The sound of the water and distant seagulls served as their soundtrack while they each seemed to retreat to the quietness of their own thoughts.
"What about you?
Gia asked. Were you flirting with me at the restaurant the other night?
I think so.
Another pause as Gia processed this. She'd guessed as much, but hearing it out loud was something else entirely. It also brought up a lot of questions.
But you're straight.
The words had tumbled from her mouth. Unfortunately, Gia didn't come with a ton of finesse, and pretty much just said things as they occurred to her. Hearing that sentence out loud, however, had her wishing she had employed some of Hadley's sensitivity. Elle stopped running, which also brought Gia to a stop. She placed her hands on her hips and took a moment as her breathing slowed. She stared at Gia.
I never said that.
Oh. Gia didn't know what to say to that, but she had to say something. She stared briefly at a seagull splashing in the surf.
I just thought so, because you've always dated men.
Well, everyone's straight until they're not, right?
Elle ran on, leaving Gia staring after her, shocked, encouraged, and shocked again. She caught up, and they ran for another 10 minutes with only the sounds of the beach accompanying them.
You should stick around after we surf. We can have some food.
A pause.
I should have just said we can have dinner. That would have been better.
Gia laughed. Either works for me. I'm pretty simple that way.
Are you, though?
Elle asked, which made Gia stop and think. She'd always considered herself a fairly what-you-see-is-what-you-get person.
I think so, yeah. My needs are basic. Food, waves, and friends.
And nothing else? God, why did Elle have to say that? Because now Gia had that low pull in her stomach and thought acutely of other needs.
There's more. Those are just my generals.
Elle nodded, and they reversed their direction, heading back up the shoreline toward where they'd begun.
I guess I've just been giving the subject a lot of thought lately. The something else.
And?
It has me intrigued and thoughtful, and examining my life in the most unexpected of ways.
Aha, now they were getting somewhere.
Like flirting with women?
Yeah, I guess that's part of it.
The thing about having a conversation in the midst of a run was that you didn't have to look the other person in the eye. Somehow that helped grease the wheels.
Any idea what brought this on?
She could see Elle nodding out of the corner of her eye.
I think it was you. The dream and then us spending time together. We click way more than I ever would have predicted. I think about you sometimes now. I don't know.
A pause.
We should surf.
Must have been some dream. She'd give anything to have experienced it firsthand. As they swam out to the larger swells, Elle in front and Gia trailing behind her, it felt as though they were heading toward something bigger, something inevitable that had nothing to do with waves. While Gia felt terrified, unsure, and adrift, she also couldn't pull them off the track they were on now if she tried. This thing between them was like a runaway boulder, and all she could do was get herself out of the damn way. They surfed together, but not. Gia would take a wave, ride it in, as Elle did the same. They also didn't communicate much out there on the water, other than a few encouraging calls. But they did notice each other. Wherever Elle was, Gia was aware. She watched her form, her speed, her power, and flow. Beyond those things, she watched Elle. The look on her face as she drove hard to the pocket. She pulled her bottom lip in, and her right eyebrow dipped down in concentration. The swells were small for what they were used to on tour, allowing Elle to stay upright, tackling one wave after another like the pro that she was. But these were beach breaks they were surfing, waves moving over shifting sand, each one a little different from the next, which kept things interesting. But that wasn't all that was interesting. Gia felt Elle's eyes on her, too, moving across her skin, watching her technique, her body, making the whole experience take on an erotic undertone. They surfed until late in the day, when their energy ran dry and their hunger took over. As they paddled their way back to the shore, Elle looked over at Gia.
I will admit, I didn't know what it would be like surfing with you outside of a competition.
Gia smiled. And?
I'm surprised how much I enjoyed it. It wasn't nearly as stressful as I imagined.
She laughed, not sure if that was a compliment or not.
I had fun, too. Not going on record or anything, but maybe you're a great surfer.
Gia never in a million years would have imagined those words coming from her lips just 3 months ago. But she wanted Elle to know that about herself.
Yeah, well, you happen to be good at it as well.
Gia turned to Elle, her mouth hanging open in shock.
Really? Good? You're going with good? I gave you great.
Fine, maybe you're better than good. But we're still off the record.
Thank you.
They hit the shore and dragged their boards in. Elle glanced back out at the water.
Did you see the clean walls out there? I was loving it, just big enough.
I could tell, Wavehog, you were all over them.
Says the final heat interloper.
Gia shook her head.
You're never going to let that one go, are you?
Would you?
No, Gia said automatically.
They laughed at her candor.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
All in the name of surfing. Hungry yet?
Starving.
Thought so. Follow me.
Elle didn't live far from their spot on the beach. She led Gia down a windy path to the back of a one-story blue house, where they deposited their boards and bags just beyond a wooden gate that came to Gia's waist. She stared at the house.
This is you?
For the past 6 years.
She took a moment for the appropriate amount of jealousy.
Cool beach access.
My thoughts exactly when I paid too much for the place.
Elle led Gia up the steps to a back deck accessorized with two comfortable-looking patio chairs facing the shore with the table between them. She imagined Elle sitting outside, salt water drying on her skin, watching the sun go down.
Didn't sound awful at all.
Elle unlocked the back door and tossed Gia a look over her shoulder.
Hey, remember when you were distant and unfriendly?
Gia nodded. Remember when you were fake and attention-seeking?
Hopefully we've eliminated fake from that sentence.
Gia chuckled and followed Elle inside. She took a moment to orient herself to the space. Everything about the interior of Elle's house said soft. The colors, a variety of whites and beiges. The shape of the furniture, all rounded and cloud-like. It was the perfect place to collapse after a long day's workout. Every aspect of Elle's home screamed, "Fall down right here." Gia wanted to. Even the art on the wall communicated serenity.
You have a very chill house. I don't know how else to say it.
Chill, huh? Elle laughed. I don't think I've ever heard it described quite like that, but yes, it's very chill. I happen to need chill in my life. What's your place like?
Gia paused.
It feels significantly less adult than this. Also less comfortable.
Let me guess. All wall-to-wall neon surfboards?
No, Gia said, drawing out the lie. I have a couch, too.
Wow, Elle said in mock appreciation.
But as Gia perused the place further, Elle did have nods to their shared profession on display, just not as in-your-face as Gia did. A framed news article on the wall from a big tournament win from Elle's teenage years. A color photo of her on the day she took the world championship. There were also photos of her with her parents, her younger brothers, and people Gia presumed were her friends. Elle's life seemed vibrant and happy, warm even. As she took in the personal touches and got to know Elle a little better, she noticed herself smiling.
"You are a person," she said, in teasing fashion, to Elle.
"As much as possible, yes," Elle said over her shoulder.
Her breath tickled Gia's skin, sending a shiver inching through her.
"How about a shower before dinner?"
Gia turned around and raised an eyebrow in the quiet of Elle's living room. The insinuation prompted Elle to falter, and the perfect smile fell from her face.
"No, I didn't mean it like that."
Gia didn't mind seeing Elle on defense. It was too rare an occurrence for her not to enjoy it. She couldn't stop herself from pushing back.
"Because that's what it sounded like." "So not an invitation, then?"
Gia asked with a raised eyebrow. Elle exhaled, understanding that she was being teased.
"The eyebrow again, huh?
You can use the guest bathroom through there.
Gia followed Elle's gaze and grabbed her bag.
Thanks, I'll be quick.
The hall bathroom had Gia captivated. Matching light blue hand towels and little soaps carved into different shapes. Seashells, anchors, and starfish. Foaming hand soap and the thick kind of tissues you find in all the good hotels. Elle had her life together, that was for sure.
Gia took a quick shower, dried off with the fluffiest towel she'd experienced in quite a while, slid into her jeans and white slouchy top, and headed to the kitchen, where she found Elle already showered and unpacking a delivery bag.
Food's here.
Gia glanced at the front door and back to Elle.
How is that possible? I took a 10-minute shower. Are you capable of stopping time?
Elle smiled. It's from an all-natural restaurant around the corner. I have a delivery service already scheduled several times a week. Just ask them to make it two tonight.
That easy, huh?
Gia joined Elle in the kitchen, glancing up at the copper pots and pans that hung from above the center island.
More adulting. So, what are we having?
Lots of baked chicken, broccoli, 12-grain bread, and jalapeno corn, which, trust me, will blow your mind.
Elle tucked a strand of wet hair behind her ear, and Gia attempted to stay focused on the conversation.
Mind-blowing corn? I'm in.
Good save.
At Elle's suggestion, they skipped the kitchen table in favor of the coffee table and sat on the floor of her living room, which wasn't a problem because, wouldn't you know it, the accent rug was fluffy and awesome. It wasn't the most exciting meal in the world, but in the middle of the season, it was definitely the kind of food Gia should be eating. Well, they both should.
Elle regarded Gia thoughtfully, spoon in hand.
I can't believe you thought I was fake. I happen to be a really friendly person.
Gia considered this as she finished chewing.
You are, but you have to admit that you laid on a little thick when in the limelight.
But even Gia was starting to backpedal from the theory. Elle was actually a pretty bubbly person in front of the media and away from it. That's apparently just who she was.
It's true that I can schmooze. She sparkled even as she said the word, as if the thought took her there. But that's part of the game, unfortunately. Do you know that there are women on the tour, the top professional surfing tour in the world, that don't have sponsorship?
Gia nodded. She didn't understand how they managed it. Travel alone could run past the 50,000 mark.
Sasha Christensen from Australia?
Yeah?
Elle raised a hand in punctuation.
Number 13 in the world and isn't sponsored. Not by choice either, and that makes no sense. She pays for everything out of pocket. If she doesn't win, she operates at a loss by the end of the season.
I know. It sucks.
Which means she's probably going to be off the tour soon. How long can one person sustain that kind of financial hit? She has to eat, pay rent.
Elle had a valid point. The surfing world was just as sexist as any other sport out there. The women were rewarded for their appearances with ads, sponsorships, and endorsement deals. Others used their charisma to pull in the necessary cash to compete. But if you were a less than attractive or shy person, the going was rough, if not impossible. Didn't matter how great a surfer you were. Your only hope was to have been born independently wealthy and bankroll your travel and tournament fees personally. It didn't make sense.
So I was 14 years old, trying to figure out how in the world I was going to make it to the next tournament, and then the next,
Elle said.
We were a middle-class family. My parents did everything for me that they could, but I was going to have to figure something else out long-term. It was clear to me that sponsorship was the only way I was going to be able to make a go of surfing from a career standpoint.
Gia started to understand.
You learned to court the media.
Big time. I had to. And I got good at it.
Elle paused to bask in the glory of the corn. She pointed at Gia's plate.
Right?
Gia grinned. It's pretty good.
The more press I did, the more doors I noticed opening for me. Listen, all I wanted to do was surf, and I had found a way in. If we're being honest, I didn't mind that part of the job that much. It was fun. Still can be.
It's shocking you were able to figure that out so young.
I'm not alone. You're sponsored up yourself.
I just do my thing, Gia said.